Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. Today is January the 28th, 2011. My name is Frank Weltner, and you're listening to The World Today. According to a thoughtful article published in criminalstate.com, to assassinate an American president with impunity requires pre-staging. For Israel to succeed in such a quest would require an evildoer on whom the deed could possibly be blamed. The emerging facts suggest that such pre-staging is well underway and that a Pakistani could be the perceived culprit. The recent history of evildoer branding offers insight as to what to expect. Over the course of several years, for instance, Saddam Hussein, a brutal tyrant, at least according to the propaganda in the Zionist-owned press in America, a brutal tyrant, Saddam Hussein morphed from a loyal and valued U.S. ally into the leader of a state portrayed as a member of the Axis of Evil, ready and able to deploy weapons of mass destruction on a moment's notice. Though that depiction was a lie, a plausible lie sufficed in the creation of a credible evildoer to help justify the invasion of Iraq. Similarly, the Taliban in all of its many forms have long been religious fundamentalists with an intolerant streak exceeded only by their ferocity in defense of their severe version of Islam. During the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan, the Taliban were celebrated as the fierce Mujahideen and heralded as heroic freedom fighters by President Ronald Reagan. In the run-up to the provocation of 9/11, that positive branding abruptly changed when 6 months prior to that mass murder, Afghanistan's ancient Buddhas at Bamiyan were destroyed. When the Taliban took responsibility, they were rebranded worldwide as certifiably evil for what mainstream media portrayed as a cultural holocaust. When staging such a power of association operations, timing is everything. By 9/11, the Taliban were seen as world-class evildoers. And I certainly remember this. I remember that the Zionist-owned press, the New York Times, Washington Post, the major networks, were portraying suddenly the Taliban as evildoers when it earlier, when they were fighting against the Soviet Union, for us, they were seen as very, very good players in the Middle East. And it's interesting how our Zionist-owned media worked together to further this CIA branding of the Taliban and putting the brakes on the positive material about the Taliban and then turning it around and making them look as they were simply evildoers. A similar pre-staging is underway in the U.S. as manipulated impressions become the mental building blocks to create a plausible culprit from an Islamic nation. Now, provided Israel wanted to assassinate the President of the United States, we must keep in mind that repeated reports of Iraqi WMD years ago created a generally accepted consensus truth regardless of facts. In a similar fashion, oft-repeated reports of the threat of Iranian WMD have steadily created the impression of a nuclear weapons capability, which again had no basis in fact. But facts are not the point when pre-staging an evildoer. The point is what a targeted population can be induced to believe, such as the United States, where the people are known to be fairly stupid in terms of politics. They come out and vote in fairly large numbers for presidents and for politicians whom they never meet in their lifetime, and whom they're convinced represent them. How they would do that? Well, no one's ever asked. But if you do ask if they're represented, they say, oh yes, I live in a representative democracy. You ever met your senator? I shook his hand once. But that's generally as far as the questioning goes. But as a matter of fact, with 640 to 700,000 people per representative in Congress, there's no time for the representatives to know what anyone wants in their particular district. But they do, oh yes, they do know exactly what the bankers want in New York, because the bankers give them money for their campaigns, and that's whom they really represent. For instance, five Muslim students in the U.S. traveled to Pakistan in mid-December, setting off a flurry of reports about the threat of homegrown terrorism. Do you remember that in the paper? I found that a very interesting set of stories. Every report mentioned the recent shootings at Fort Hood, Texas, by a Muslim psychiatrist. A series of other incidents helped enhance the plausibility of a violent event traceable to the requisite Islamic evildoer, should anything happen to the President of the United States. The Justice Department announced this month that the trial of a 9/11 suspect will be held in Manhattan, with a second trial in nearby Brooklyn. In explaining the projected $150 million cost, local officials likened the extensive security to what's required for a New Year's Eve celebration, only lasting for months. These show trials are akin to a high-profile publicity campaign, certain to keep Americans on edge while enhancing the plausibility of Islamic violence, which is a typical Israeli propaganda phrase. So, if the president were killed by someone, someone who is an Israeli, let's say, how would you pass this off on someone else? How would an assassin reach the most closely guarded president in modern times and pull this off? The possibility of a security breach has already been pre-staged at the first state dinner by Obama. Two aspiring contestants for a reality show foiled White House security and came within handshake distance of the president. Though no one has yet conceded how that could have happened, both the president and the first lady have an Ashkenazi chief of staff, or at least they did. He's now running for the mayor of Chicago. Bodyguards were protecting Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin when, in November 1995, a Likud party member shot him at close range. So, as you can see, it is possible for people to get to a president, whether it's in Israel or in America. At any rate, this article, Will Israel Assassinate Barack Obama, has been printed by criminalstate.com. And that is exactly how it would be done. If you're going to deceive somebody, you start your deception way before the event. You begin to talk about the Taliban, you begin to talk about Pakistan, and how evil Al-Qaeda is, and you talk about it, and you talk about it, and then when the assassination occurs, you arrest an Islamic person who's already been pre-tainted for 6 months or more with a Israeli propaganda in the Israeli newspaper, such as the New York Times, so that we've heard it repeated in all of our presses over and over again and again, same as we saw pictures of Osama bin Laden with his crazy-looking telephone with a 3-foot antenna on it, day after day after day for 8 or 9 months on our televisions, wondering why do they keep showing this man. They showed him at every 5:30 newscast. NBC, ABC, CBS, all of them were showing this. Fox News, Osama bin Laden, this and that. The same little blip on him. No change in picture, just him in a tent in the Middle East with this radio. So then when 9/11 hit, suddenly, within an hour, someone said it was Osama bin Laden. And everybody said, oh yeah, that must be who it is. I saw him over and over again on TV. But there were a few of us back then that were a little wiser than most. We understood that he had been set up in the press for months so that when this occurred, they would have someone to easily blame it on. And then later, when the FBI absolved Osama bin Laden from doing this, no one even noticed because it was already an urban legend that he had done this. We live in an age of deception. Deception's been going on a long time with the Israeli people. For instance, in ancient times, Jesus Christ said of the Jews, he said, you are of your father the devil, who is a liar, and shall always be a liar. The biblical passage I refer to was in John 8:44, where Jesus says of the Jews, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He, your father the devil, was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When the devil speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Jesus calls the Jewish people the sons of the devil, the sons of the liar, those who lie and can never tell the truth. He could be talking about America just as easily as Israel, because both of these countries are some of the biggest lying countries in the world. They live and breed on deception, all of them. Now, I myself never really thought that the Israelis might kill President Obama. But I've often thought that if they really wanted to increase their hold on America, that what they would do would be to set off a nuclear weapon in Government Square in Washington, D.C., just a small one that would kill tens of thousands of people and make the middle ground in Washington, D.C. totally uninhabitable for years, and which would decapitate the government of the United States. And those who are going to take over for continuity of government are even more heavily laced with persons who Jesus called the sons of the devil, the liars and deceivers. And immediately we would be told, if such a bomb went off in Washington, not that it was the Israelis that did it from a truck or a bus, but that it was done by Osama bin Laden or Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. You know, there's no secret that the Israelis have constantly been referring to the Islamics as terrorists, and they have made Islamophobia into a passion, which is extremely racist and genocidal, something that many of their spokesmen have said that Americans should not do when we're talking about Jews or blacks or somebody else. But the Israelis do it with the Muslims. They refer to them as ugly, deadly creatures, creatures of war, creatures who kill women and children, etc., etc., etc. And in fact, they might as well be talking about themselves, for that's what they do. They talk about them as people who circumcise their women to keep them from having sex or from desiring sex. Yet the Jews circumcise their young men on the seventh or eighth day of their lives without any anesthesia. They remove the one-third of their penis, which extends over the tip, leaving the children screaming in total pain. And some of them get infections from this, including herpes and so forth. In fact, there's a case where a child several years ago died of herpes, which he got from a rabbi during one of these mole ceremonies. But no one talks about that, but they love to talk about how the Islamics circumcise their women, but they don't talk about how the Islamics, the Catholics, the Baptists, and the Zionists circumcise their children. Well, that's just the way it is. It must be nice to be able to own a newspaper and be able to determine what you're going to say about other people, so that when you promulgate your hatred, you're able to do so in a kind of nice, clinical manner, almost scientific, so that it almost sounds as though you know what you're talking about, when in fact, you probably don't. I find it very interesting how these anti-democratic people, such as the ADL and their minions in the freak show up in Washington, D.C., and many of the Christian and atheist senators and congressmen there, whenever there's a murder of someone of high station or an assassination attempt, such as happened to a member of Congress just not too long ago, Gabby Gabriel, she was shot in the head by a crazy person by the name of Loeffner. It turns out that he himself, like Gabriel, was evidently Jewish. His best friend said that his mother was Jewish. So it wasn't really a racist killing or attempted killing someone. And it turns out this person seems to be quite crazy, but they always say that. They said that Oswald was crazy, when in fact Oswald was a bona fide worker for the CIA down in New Orleans, and had even spent time for the CIA as a immigrant to the Soviet Union. And we remember that when President Kennedy was shot, supposedly by Oswald, when in fact there's a picture of Oswald standing in front of the Texas Repository at the moment that the Kennedy Arcade came by. There's a photograph of him standing right out in front. You can see the arcade of cars. And there's Oswald, not up in the window shooting, but standing in front of the door. And despite all of these things, we still persist in saying that Oswald did this, and on and on and on. And then to further accuse him of it, they have him shooting a policeman a mile away and acting suspicious in a theater. Well, of course he'd act suspicious in a theater, because he knew they were coming for him. They were going to pin this on him. And the only thing he ever told the press was, this is a setup. I'm innocent. I'm just the patsy. So then they had to murder him, and they had a Zionist come in and murder him by the name of Jacob Benjamin Rubinstein, whom they then cleansed by not using his Jewish name, but calling him Jack Ruby, a member of the Mafia, which made everybody think that he was Italian, when in fact he was a member of the Jewish Mafia from Chicago, with Meyer Lansky and the rest of them. Of course, the United States government is also connected with the Jewish Mafia, because the Jewish Mafia is connected with banking and with Zionism. Well, one of the greatest Zionists in the world is Bronfman, whose family was the Bronfman Mafia of Canada that ran the Seagram 7 business and ran booze across the Great Lakes into America during Prohibition. And in fact, they said of the Kennedy Mafia, the Kennedys were Mafia too, by the way. Oh, yes, indeed they were. Old Joe Kennedy owned Cutty Sark, and he was bringing booze in all during the Depression. Not the Depression, but all during the 1920s, he was bringing booze in. And Bronfman of the Jewish Mafia said of Kennedy, "Don't have any dealings with him. He has no morals, and he will even steal from the criminals themselves, including us. He would never pay off a debt to any of the Jewish Mafia. He would make deals with them, make money off of them, and then not pay them." How he did that without getting killed, I don't know, but evidently he was able to pull that off. But we have seen people like Osama bin Laden take the rap for 9/11, when in fact it was the United States that ran those planes into those buildings. In fact, the United States was even pretending that the planes were going to go into the World Trade Tower, when in fact they did go into the World Trade Tower. So we know that that the possibility that the Arabs would do this on the exact day when there was a war game of those planes going into the World Trade Tower, there is so remote, millions to one, that it just shows that the United States was implicated and is responsible for it. And the fact that they gave out billions of dollars to the people that were killed in the building without even going through a court case shows that they didn't want this to go to court, because if it went to court, then embarrassing questions would have been asked about whether or not bombs had been placed in the building beforehand. There were people that were working in the elevators for weeks before this in secret. And that's all been published in the papers, but no one ever somehow connects the dots. They just won't connect the dots for you. And that's how they're able to keep these little sabotage deals going without being caught, is that they have the connivance of the minority-owned press, like the New York Times, the Washington Post, are owned by Judeo-Bolsheviks, the descendants of the Bolsheviks who started the Soviet Union and did so to murder 65 million Christians in cold blood over a 20-year period of time from 1917 to 1940. And the press kept that so secret that when Durante went over there, he was a reporter from the New York Times and interviewed Stalin and wrote a year's worth of articles about Stalin and how successful he was. When he did that, he won the Pulitzer Prize, but he never mentioned that Stalin was killing tens of millions of Christians during that time period. And so the students at Columbia University, which is one of the best journalism colleges in America, I prefer the University of Missouri myself, because that's where I went, but that's just a little local color for you. If Columbia is the best, fine. If Mizzou's the best, fine. I'm sure that you can become an excellent reporter no matter which college you go to. It all depends on you and what you have inside you. At any rate, we know that our presses are controlled by the CIA. The CIA has so confessed that this is true. The major commentators on the news, the major reporters through the Cold War admitted after the Cold War was over that they had been approached and worked for the CIA. And they're still working for the CIA, and that's why when these things happen, you get a story that from all of these presses and TV companies that all sounds the same. Because they know what their job is, and they're paid by the CIA to do their job, and they're paid millions to do their job. So they certainly don't want to get rid of that source of income. So, of course, they do exactly what America wants them to do, and if they don't, well, then they have all sorts of problems with the IRS and this and that. So it's just kind of a nasty thing not to do what the fascists in Washington want you to do. If a fascist asks you to do something, to lie for the government, by God, you know you're going to do it. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the rioting going on in Northern Africa, in the Middle East right now, from Morocco all the way to Saudi Arabia. And the largest country in there is, of course, Egypt. And we saw all day long on Al Jazeera TV pictures live of students out in the streets conversing with soldiers and police. A few got run over by government vehicles, not many. And it was really fairly subdued for someone wanting to have a revolution. course, when you don't have any guns and you're a student, you're not going to do that much. There were a few people with rifles that shot them in the air. But the people in Cairo who are used to running a freak show there that doesn't really represent the people, but that represents the Israeli bankers in New York, they kind of took it on the chin. Or did they? You know, it was said by one of our most famous presidents, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that when it comes to politics, nothing happens that isn't planned. Now, if you're going to have World War II, know that it was planned. If you're going to have a World War, World War I, know it was planned. If you're going to have the Vietnam War, know it's planned. It's set up in a planned deal. If President Kennedy is assassinated, it was planned by politicians. Know that this is true. So what do we have here? We have students, and it's usually students that start revolutions. They're very idealistic. They're young. They have nothing to lose or except their lives. And they think they're immortal, so they think they have nothing to lose. So here they are out there roaming the streets, causing trouble. And the journalists love to cover it. But you have to ask yourself, how could this happen over all these thousands of miles from Saudi Arabia and then across the sea of Suez to Egypt, and then all the way across Africa to Morocco? Thousands of miles, students in all of these countries are suddenly rioting, started in Tunisia. You could tell yourself, well, they saw it on TV and they copied it, or they read about it in the newspapers and they copied it. But it doesn't really work that way. I mean, it could be that the students called each other up and said, let's go out and have a demonstration. That could be. But, you know, the United States is spending trillions of dollars on espionage in those areas. The CIA is there. The Mossad is there. And they have penetrated every student organization right and left in those countries. And they've been penetrated and compromised for years. That's how we're able to control things there. We have people in those groups. Whenever they have a meeting, we get a dossier of intelligence as to what was discussed and who discussed what, because the informers are there, and they're paid very well to be there. So to think that the possibility doesn't exist that these students were put up to this by the United States, and maybe even by their own government, you'd have to be a little bit insane not to understand this. Let's take a look at Mubarak. He's been in power for 30 years. The United States has said that, though, they think he should have been more reform-oriented, and this wouldn't have happened. But you see, now that it has happened, that helps the United States. Because tonight, Mubarak announced that all of his cabinet had resigned, and he was going to establish a new, more liberal government, which the United States wanted. He's probably also going to allow the banks to charge more interest rates and do this and that to help the Judeo-Bolshevik bankers in New York, who have total puppet control over the United States freak show in Washington, D.C. Every senator and congressman has strings attached to to IPAC members and to banking organizations, because their donations for their run for their office every 2 years comes from those people, because they're the ones who are able to create money out of nothing. And since they create it out of nothing, it's nothing but a fiction. They give a little bit of it to the congressman. Congressmen will do what they want. The congressmen are up there in the freak show in Washington with blood flowing down their hands and alongside their pants from the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Their hands are just covered with blood. They vote for blood in Washington. And we've been at war for hundreds of years now, nonstop. Nonstop. I can't remember when we didn't have a war going. You know, everything was anti-Hitler and anti-Japan in World War II, and then suddenly, as soon as the war is over, Within one day, they started criticizing Stalin and Mao Zedong. And because they needed to have a Cold War, they needed to have some kind of war going so that the banks would have to give money to the United States to build things like the B-52 bomber, to make more atom bombs and so forth, and test them off, and to keep a big military afloat. And the banks made a lot of money off of the loans they gave to the United States of America for this. And this is all a part of the deception that you're undergoing right now, and that you would undergo if the Israelis really did want to assassinate President Obama. They definitely would blame it on someone like a Pakistani or someone from Afghanistan. But it'd be better with a Pakistani, because we're not in Pakistan, whereas we're in Afghanistan. It would look bad for us not to have stopped that there. That would be much better if he came from Pakistan or from Iran, where we aren't located. The important thing is not whether or not Israel's going to assassinate Obama and blame it on an Arab. The point is that they wouldn't be above doing that, based on what they've done in the past. They wouldn't be above starting the Soviet Union, which they did in the past, and they murdered 65 million Christians there. Like it says in the New Testament, they are fathers of the devil, who is a liar and cannot tell the truth no matter what he does, and neither can the Israelis. And as a matter of fact, that same statement is the motto of the Mossad, their intelligence community. War through deception is their motto, right above their door. War through deception. And yeah, they commit wars through deception. They're warring with the United States right now through deception. They have gotten trillions of dollars through their Zionist banks in New York to go for their criminal purposes. And these criminals are everywhere in the world, doing this to every other country too, stealing their money blind, taking it from them, printing it, pretending like it's real money when in fact it's nothing but numbers inside of a computer that they punch out. But you have to pay those with paper dollar bills from whenever you work, when you get a loan from them. Because that's the way criminals are. It's a shakedown. Every loan is a shakedown. And don't ever forget it. Well, I think that's enough for today. We've covered much of the news that's really of any import. And remember, don't look at what's going on in the Middle East and not realize that the CIA is involved in this up to its neck, and so is the Mossad. Israel and the United States have our operations going throughout every one of those nations. And every radical student organization is infiltrated to the max with our people. In fact, some of them probably wouldn't even have organizations if it weren't for the dues that are paid by the CIA people that are in there, to make sure that not only that they remain there, the organizations I mean, but that they remain open to CIA indoctrination, so that whatever America thinks can be artificially whipped into the minds of the students and spread throughout each university. I'd like to remind you to please send donations to this effort to Frank Weltner at 6937 Bruno Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri, 63139. And just write out a little check and send something along to keep this this effort going, because I think it's a worthwhile effort. And if you think it's worthwhile, then please support it, because we certainly do need the funds to keep this going. In addition, I would like to ask you to post around the internet that www.americanussr.com is available for everyone to do their research on all the negative things that the CIA and the Mossad have done throughout the last several hundred years of history. And also the sister site www.jewwatch.com, which is the foremost authority on Jewish history, and on research and documentation of that research throughout the web, where almost all of the citations for the Jews starting the Soviet Union and murdering the 65 million Russians there who were Christians, murdered by Jews who ran the Red Army. These are from citations in the New York Times, the Washington Post, Encyclopedia Britannica, and by documents and cables from American diplomats in Russia. So, enjoy those two sites and let everyone on the internet know that JewWatch.com and AmericanUSSR.com are there. And remember, what they did in Russia, they're doing now in the United States. They have bankrupted us. They have sent us into war after war after war. And the only thing left to complete the USSR here in America is for them to do what they did in Russia, and that is to come and kill us. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.